morning. Welcome to River City Church. My name is Jonathan, and I want to say to all of you that are our guests, as Eddie Davis said earlier, we're like super pumped that you're here today, okay? We're pumped everyone else is here, but we're like super pumped that you're here. And just go ahead and be open and honest with you. We don't really care around here how you come as guests. If someone pays you to come, we're cool with that. Someone threatens you, we're cool with that. Whatever it takes to get you here, man, we are excited to have you here. And the reason why I just want to share this with you is because for us as a church, these past 7 months or so that we've been having services week in, week out, one of our primary goals or one of our primary drivers as a church is to create an environment that when you as our guests walk through those doors, that you feel like that you're at home. Seriously. You know, imagine that in church, that when actually you come through some doors and you think, these people are actually glad I'm here. And I'm new. Well, that's our hope and that's our desire here at River City Church, is that when you came through, that was your experience. And then we hope each week, guys, when you come back, and hopefully you will come back, you enjoy this worship that we have. Don't you think Matt and those guys are pretty incredible? Didn't they do an awesome job? And then also every week here, my heart is, and my hope is that every week that I will communicate something in such a way that may bring a little encouragement to your life. Could you use a little bit of that? Maybe a little bit of hope to your life, and maybe even add a little bit of clarity to where you are in your journey with God. Because what we believe here is that every one of us are on a journey with God. We're all in different places. And our passion and our hope is that we would be able to just be able to give something into your life that would bring value to your life. So if that sounds good with you guys today, I'm excited for us to be jumping into this new series that we started, that we've entitled Simple. Now, this is a series that is that. It is simple. It is over 3 weeks long. And as we were thinking about this series, what I started just kind of trying to get my brain around was like, what is one idea? What is one thought that if I were to just speak around this, what would be our rallying cry? What would we want to just narrow in on? And as I thought about it, I thought about a question that I believe is a question that is so important. It is so relevant to every one of us, no matter where we sit and whatever we're going through in life today. It's also a question I believe that's very, very time sensitive, meaning that it probably needed to be spoken on like yesterday, not just today. And the question that we came up with is this, is have you found your spiritual experience to be confusing and draining? Okay, I'll say it one more time. Have you found your spiritual experience to be confusing and draining? You know, whenever you think about something spiritual, you don't have to go very far in this city to find something spiritual, do you? In this city, we're right here in the middle of the South, and we're in a nation that was founded under God. But everywhere you go here in this city, it's easy to find something that you would call spiritual. You can almost not even drive through subdivisions in our city and find churches, right? That everywhere you turn in a city that, believe it or not, in our county, we have more churches per capita than any other county in North America, you are without a doubt in a place where you can find things spiritual. The other thing about things that are spiritual is that whenever you flip through the TV, isn't it true? I don't care if you have cable or basic television, that whenever you flip through it, it is very challenging to flip through a channel and not run across something that you would say is spiritual. The same with the radio. However, within this culture, within where we're at in our city, where we would say we are saturated with spiritual things, another thing we know that's true is that you don't have to go very far, and maybe even in this room, where you have to say, or you could say, that spiritual things to you have become confusing or draining. That it's just something that whenever you think about spiritual things and your experience, that when you've tried to navigate, if you will, through the things of life, whether it be denominations, whether it be church, whether it be anything, that it's very, very easy for you to find that spiritual things have been very confusing for you. Or maybe they've been draining for you. Or maybe it's just people that you and I know. Well, the interesting thing is that the reason why I believe this is such an important thing for us to discuss, like today, is because here recently, there's been a lady in the past week or two that's very, very well known by the name of Anne Rice. Have any of you ever heard of Anne Rice? She's an author. Yeah, she's a fictional author who's written a lot of books on things around vampires and things like that. And the thing that's kind of cool about Anne Rice is that Anne Rice, about 10 to 12 years ago, she became a follower of Christ. Now, the reason why that's kind of interesting is she was born and raised Catholic. She left the faith, became an atheist, and what she classified herself as a pessimistic atheist. And then about 10 or 12 years ago, she went back to Christianity and the faith, as she put it. And then about 5 years ago, she came out with a book. And then recently, as of 2 weeks ago, she came out on her Facebook page and she said, guys, I quit Christianity. She said, I'm out. I'm gone. I'm done. And everyone was just kind of like, wow. Okay, so atheist, Christian, and now you're leaving Christianity. Well, it really wasn't that simple, because here's what she actually said. I'm going to read you the quote. She said, in the name of Christ, I refuse, and listen to this litany of things, I refuse to be anti-gay. I refuse to be anti-feminist. I refuse to be anti-artificial birth control. I refuse to be anti-Democrat. I thought that was kind of funny. I refuse to be anti-secular humanism. I refuse to be anti-science. And I refuse to be anti-life. And as I started reading this, I was like, wow, Ann, I mean, that's kind of brutal. You know, it's kind of sucks that you think that that's what this is all about. And so then as I started looking further, I found an interview she had, one interview with someone on CNN. And this lady said, okay, and we want to better understand this. You're saying you're not like leaving Christ or God. You're just leaving organized religion. And she said, oh, yeah. She said, I'm not trying in any way separate myself or leave Christ or God. I'm just saying this whole organized religion deal, these followers of God and Jesus, she said, I'm just kind of done with that. And here's what she said. She said, I want to leave the argument and the fray. And then she said, I just want to go back and out into the wilderness and talk with God. And as I listened to those comments by Ann, there were certain things I didn't fully agree with. But what I did see was that what Ann was saying, when she thinks about God, when she thinks about Christianity, when she thinks about this system in our nation that is called organized religion, what it seemed like to her is that it is confusing. Not only is it confusing, it is draining. And she said, this is a fray and I want to get out of it. I want to just kind of separate myself. I want to get along with God and all that. Now, have you ever thought that? You know what I'm saying? Have you ever heard people say that? That, man, this is just a big train wreck. This is just a big mess. And I just want to separate myself from that and just get alone, just me and this God that I worship. Well, the interesting thing to me about all this is that culturally, we're seeing this becoming more and more of an issue. Anne Rice is not the only person saying this. There are literally thousands upon thousands of people that have found that the faith and spiritual things is just, for them, something that they're just trying to push back on and say, you know, I'm great with God. I'm okay with Jesus. But this whole deal you guys got going on, I'm just not so sure. But what's very, very interesting is that when you look for correlations, oftentimes I find these in Scripture, is that you can go back with me and just do a little time travel, and what you'll find is around 2,000 years ago, there was this little baby boy that was born across the globe in another nation called Israel. And this little boy, his name was Jesus the Christ. And Jesus was born to a virgin, as Scripture says, by the name of Mary. You may have heard of her. And a dad who was a carpenter by the name of Joseph. And Jesus was born in a culture that was heavily, heavily saturated with spiritual and religious things. I mean, like, thick. There were systems upon systems upon systems upon systems upon rules, all those different things, much like what we experience today. And Jesus was born and raised in this environment, and Jesus studied, and Jesus learned, and Jesus went by all these different things. And as Jesus approached the age of roughly 30, one day Jesus went out when a guy by the name of John the Baptizer was baptizing people, and Jesus cut his way through the crowd, and he went, and John the Baptizer took Jesus and baptized him into the water. And when Jesus came out of the water, it says that the heavens were open, the God of the world spoke. Imagine that, right? Big deal. And then the Spirit of God descended upon him, and God said, you are my son, and with you I am pleased. This marks the beginning of Jesus, what we call earthly ministry. Jesus leaves that time, and briefly afterwards, he started doing things and saying things. And here's what he primarily said, is he said, I am from God. Not only that, I'm here to explain to you how that God wants for you to have a connection with him. Now, I don't know about you, but whenever anyone says, I'm from God, I don't care how skeptical you are, you're still going to listen a little bit, aren't you? I mean, it's just kind of, you know, you're like, what does this guy have to say? You know, in today's time, we go, man, you're a nut. And so you just sit there and you watch this guy. And so all these people that were religious, the little fraternity of guys, the Pharisees and Sanhedrin and all these different individuals and scribes and all these other guys start coming around Jesus going, okay, let's see what he's got to say. And then not only that, you saw his family with him. And then you also saw all these people that were on the fringes of religion and a lot of people that were not even associated with religion at all. They turned their back on it. They started coming around Jesus. And what Jesus started doing is he started performing miracles to validate that he was the Son of God. And so that even had people going, okay, I can't do that, but if he can do that, man, I need to listen to this guy. And what Jesus started speaking to in this system upon in this religious system of rules and regulations and rituals and all these things and laws is he started speaking a different message. And this message that Jesus started speaking was a message that was very, very different. And people just started scratching their heads. The Pharisees literally started getting very irritated with Jesus because he was crowding in on their way of life with his talk. And as Jesus started talking, he started using word pictures. And the word pictures he started painting were things that were very, very different for their day. And he said, when you think of God, here's how you need to think of him. Now again, guys, this is new news. He said, think of God as a father and you as a child. Think of God as like a dad and you as a son or you as a daughter. That whenever you think about connecting with God, you don't need to think about rituals and rules and regulations. You need to think about him going to him and saying, Papa, Daddy, just like you did, just like I did as children. And that's what Jesus started saying. Then Jesus started even drawing other word pictures for these individuals. He started talking about sheep and shepherds. Now back then, that was a big deal. To us today, we're like, what does that mean? But what he said about sheep and shepherds is this. He said that just as a shepherd cares and protects and provides for his sheep, we are to see our Father in heaven, God, as a shepherd and us as his sheep. And that God cares so much for you as an individual sheep that if all 100 were there and then you took off, he would leave the 99 that were safe and he would go on a mission to find you, to rescue you, to save you, because God cares for you. Now, as Jesus started saying these things, guys, these religious people became very irritated. But the people that were so unlike Jesus started liking Jesus. It's fascinating. The people who were the most irreligious group were over there on the fringes of society. They started leaning into Jesus going, I like this guy. Not only that, Jesus started liking them. In their culture, in their time, this was unheard of because the religious people who said, I'm coming in the name of God, what were they to do? They were to separate themselves from those that were considered unclean. But Jesus actually drew near to those individuals and he started sharing with them that they too could have a relationship with God. Now, guys, I believe that when we look at today and you hear some of the comments by the Anne Rice, you think about some of the ideas and the emotions and the thoughts that maybe you have or you've had, or maybe what you've seen other friends or family members have, they absolutely marry very, very closely to what was taking place in the time and the day of Jesus. And I believe that if Jesus were to come today within this time with where we are in our culture, that the type of message that Jesus would want to remind us of is very, very, very similar to the message that he shared with them. Because today, when you think about church, we think church is only for who? Church people, right? Just like the religious of their day, they believed that religion was only for those that act like them, talked like them, walked like them, believed like them, and on and on. And unfortunately, what Jesus showed them in their day and what I believe Jesus is saying today is that that could not be any farther from the truth. If that's what we believe, that church is for church people, then we don't understand the true message of Jesus. It's been complicated by people like me and the positions that I'm in that stand up here every week and say something that literally does not even line up with what Jesus did and what Jesus said. But the message that Jesus said and the invitation that Jesus brought was for everyone. It was a message that was simple. It was a message of love. It was a message of relationship, not rules and regulations. Today, I want us to look at, I believe, a passage of Scripture. It's in the Gospel account of Matthew. If you have your Bible, if you want to flip with me to Matthew chapter 9, we're going to look at verses 9 through 16. But this is a passage of Scripture that I believe that is so clear about the invitation Jesus offered, not only to the people in his day, but also to each and every one of us today, and even those that have been behind us and those that will be ahead of us. And this invitation, I believe, is what you will find, is one that is simple, and I believe that through this, you will actually see this is how it always started with Jesus. This is what it always looked like with Jesus when he would encounter people and tell them about God. So look with me at chapter 9, verse 9 in Matthew. It says, as Jesus passed on from there, where was Jesus passing on from? What we see in the Gospel of Mark and Luke, where this is recorded, is he was passing by the Sea of Galilee. He saw a man called Matthew sitting at the tax booth. Now, I just want to pause and just share a little insight with you. The interesting thing about their day and time was that whenever Rome which was who had conquered Israel, would take over a nation and they would be responsible for them. They would actually sell, if you will, franchises to individuals in Rome who could purchase these for the purpose of taxing the provinces, kind of like your territory, right? Taxing these individuals for the purpose of Rome. So some individuals would go out, buy these franchises, and then what they would do is they would do like most people, is they would stay where they lived in the Roman Empire, but they would go and they would hire the locals of the provinces, of the nations that they would actually take over, and they would make them tax collectors. Well, to become a tax collector in Jesus' day, you were Jewish. These individuals, in essence, were saying this when they became a tax collector, that I will become, for the sake of money, a traitor to my nation, one of the most despicable human beings, the scum of the earth to my people, and I will basically lose, in some cases, friends and family for the purpose, honestly, guys, of collecting money on behalf of Rome. So when Matthew, we see this, as Jesus is approaching Matthew, what you need to understand is that Matthew was in a category all in and of himself. There were the religious, and you had the elite groups. You had those that were sinners, that were people that could beat their kids and, you know, murder and do whatever. You're in that category. But by golly, if you were someone that collected taxes, you were called a tax collector. You were in your own separate category. And what's kind of interesting to me that I've noticed in this is that the Sea of Galilee was where Peter and Andrew were fishing one day. You remember that story? Jesus came up, saw them fishing. They couldn't catch anything. So he said, hey, throw your nets on the other side of the boat. And when they did, remember this? They just pulled in such a big catch, they couldn't even haul them all in, and so people had to help them. What's interesting is Peter and Andrew are with Jesus. They're walking up to this guy that's sitting over here by the Sea of Galilee. Likely, Matthew has taxed them before. Maybe he taxed them on that big catch, okay? And so here they are, they're walking up to this guy. And then Jesus, as he approaches, if you will, the scum of the earth in their minds, he gives him an invitation, and it's this simple. Follow me. Jesus looks at this guy seated at the tax collector table, and he says, follow me. Now, I'm sure Peter and Andrew are going, no. Don't you, Jesus, seriously. You need to like tell him, give us our money back, you know, something. Not follow me. Because these guys were like, man, do you understand who he is? Do you know what he's done? He's like the worst of the worst. This guy is in a category of himself, of his own today. When you think about it, don't we see that today? We have categories for people. We have the religious, don't we? And then you have some elite people, and depends on their titles and different faiths and whatever. It's kind of goofy, but we do that. Then we have our sinners, and then we have our whatever, and our whatever, and our whatever. Jesus' invitation to Matthew was, follow me. And as Matthew sat there and he looked up and peered into the eyes of the Christ, and he sat there and he listened to that invitation, the interesting thing is that Matthew had been asked to come and be a part of religious things before in their land. He had. By those religious elite. But for whatever reason, Matthew thought it was far more worth it for him to continue to pursue riches and money through a tax collector, to be shamed and despised and have his own little category, than for him to ever become like those Pharisees. To ever become like those rule bearers, to ever become like those people that all they want to do is dump these huge burdens on your back that they couldn't even carry. Matthew said, that's not what I want. But when Jesus looked at him and Jesus said, follow me. We know Matthew likely had seen him perform miracles and heard his teaching before. Matthew sat there and he considered it. We don't know how long. We don't know what he thought. But here's what we do know. There must have been something about Jesus that when Matthew, wherever he was in his life, that he peered into his eyes, he said to himself, I want that. I want something real. Because the question or the invitation Jesus posed to Matthew was this. He said, I'm going somewhere. And I'm asking you to enter into a relationship with me and to go with me wherever I go. And that's the invitation Jesus has had the entire time. He noticed he didn't tell Matthew, Matthew, go and clean yourself ceremonially and then follow me. He never said, Matthew, I want you to go do this and do that and pay homage to this or sacrifice that. No, no, no. He just looked at him and he said, will you stand up? Will you push your chair back? Will you come with me? That was his invitation. And what we see Matthew doing, powerful. And he rose. He followed him. And you know what Matthew understood? He understood that by him pushing the table back or the chair back, standing up and following Jesus, that he was leaving everything he had, everything he had built his life on, everything he had turned his back for, he was leaving it. All for the sake of this man that looked at him and with the most loving way possible said, "I want you to follow me." It's powerful. So what does Matthew do? Well, afterwards, Matthew, Jesus, probably Peter and Andrew reluctantly, they start off. And the first thing Matthew does is he actually goes and he throws a party. Now, why would he throw a party? I don't know. I have my thoughts. It's probably because someone religious actually likes me. You know what I'm talking about? You know, everybody else religious hates me because I'm scum. And this dude likes me. So he goes and he throws a party. And in verse 10, we pick up at the party. And it says, as Jesus reclined at the table in the house. Whose house? Matthew's house. He threw a big party and a feast. Behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and were reclining with Jesus and his disciples. Now, back in their day, guys, the couches or the chairs where they would eat was like three couches that went around the walls. Okay? And then the guy that would actually host it would sit smack dab in the center, and then his people of honor would sit to his right or to his left. So here we are in this picture, and you have this guy, Matthew, who is a tax collector. You have Jesus, and you have all these tax collectors and sinners around Jesus. Now, I'm just telling you, in their culture, that would be like anything you can imagine is one of the most religious people, at least they claim, right, to be going in the middle of what could be seen as the most perverse, junk, screwed up mess and just sitting right in the middle of them. And Jesus is doing that. And all these individuals are crowded around and they're like, you know, high-fiving and singing and who knows what else. And the reason why is because this guy who's from God said, we can come and hang out with him. He's cool with that. He's cool with us being tax collectors. He's cool with us being sinners. He said, follow me. And as Jesus was hanging out with these individuals, it says in verse 11, and when the Pharisees saw this, just like some religious prideful people, isn't it? Always looking for the scoop. Here they are. You ever seen this today? Yeah. And when the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, they probably called Peter and Andrew over there because they knew these were the guys kind of irritated by the whole deal, but all the money they paid Matthew. He says, why does your teacher eat with the tax collectors and the sinners? This makes no sense to us culturally. Why would he do that? Because you know, we're the guys, we're the authority, right? We've done everything by the law and then some. There are over 300 laws, and we do all of those and then some. And they said, this guy, the guy you're following, this religious leader, I'm from God, if he was that spiritual, if he was that religious, why would he go around the unclean? They were trying to undermine Jesus. They were trying to say, this guy's not from God, we are. We've got it together. This guy doesn't get it. And so the disciples probably after hearing that, they probably went to Jesus and said, man, they got a good question. In verse 12, they asked Jesus and then Jesus said, but when Jesus heard it, he said this. And this right here, guys, is one of the most clearest communications of the heart of God you can probably find in Scripture. Jesus said this. We don't know if he shouted it. We don't know if he sent a message back to the Pharisees, whatever it was. He said, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Jesus said, those who are well, they don't need a doctor. But the ones that are sick, man, they need a doctor. This was his answer as to why he hung out with the scum of the earth, according to their religious elite. And the interesting thing about this is, guys, in a saturated culture of religiosity, if you will, spiritual things, is that oftentimes the people who really think that they're righteous, like these Pharisees, they're not. They're a bunch of rule carriers. They're a bunch of prideful, arrogant people. It's like I've heard it said before, pride is the only disease that makes everyone else sick but the person who has it. You ever heard that? Man, the Pharisees come walking, everyone else gets sick, but the Pharisees have the pride, and man, they're all about it. But Jesus said, you know what? This is not about those that think they're healthy, although the Pharisees weren't. It's about those that know they're sick. Jesus, I'm sure, was thinking, and you know that they know they're sick because you make them aware of that every day. You categorize them. You say they're this. You say they're that. You keep away from them. And then Jesus continues. This really hacked them off. Verse 13. Go and learn what this means. Now, why is that a big deal? Here's why. Because when Jesus said that to these guys consider themselves to be the smartest people in all of Palestine. And here is this homeboy Jesus with his ragtag crew. I mean, you know, when you see this, when you pick teams, right, and you're a leader, you want the best. Well, he has a couple of redneck fishermen, okay? And then he also has now a tax collector, and he said, you need to go and learn something. All right, think about it. These guys were thinking, you got to be kidding me. Here's what he says. Go and learn what this means. And he quotes Hosea 6:6 from the Old Testament. He says, I desire mercy. In the Old Testament, that word in the Hebrew is actually translated steadfast love. I desire love. I desire mercy and not what? Sacrifice. Jesus said, you guys are missing it. You don't understand. This is not about rituals. This is not about laws. This is not about keeping rules. This is not about regulations. This is not about systems and systems and systems and systems. This is about a relationship of love, a relationship of mercy. This is about following me because I care for you and I love you and I accept you just where you are, just like you are. He says, I require that. And then he concludes with this, for I came not to call the righteous, but sinners. I came to call the righteous, not to call the righteous, but the sinners. Guys, I believe today that when you look at the culture that we're in today, that is so saturated with spiritual, religious processes and systems and don't do this and don't do that and we're against this, we're against that, we're against this, we're against that. It oftentimes can steal the very soul of people that start focusing on the rituals and the rules. Sometimes the rules and the rituals aren't bad. But if that's your focus, if that's your heart, then you become like those that Jesus was really saying. You're righteous, but you're really sick. Jesus says, this is not about sacrifice. This is about mercy. This is about grace. This is about love. This is about a relationship where you call God your Father. This is about a relationship with a shepherd and sheep. This is not at all about what you do or what you haven't done or what you will do or any of that. This is not about that. It's about the grace of God. It's about a Savior who came and who said, follow me. Follow me. Follow me. I don't care where you are in your life. Follow me. That's what he wants. And in our culture today, I believe that many, many people are just like those that were back in the day of Jesus, that as they look around, and just like Ann Rice stated, is that as they look around and as they see all this religious stuff, they are confused and they are drained. And you know what, know why they're drained? It's because what we know about relationships is that when relationships function properly, they are life-giving, aren't they? You know what I'm talking about? A relationship with your spouse, a relationship with your friends, a relationship with any other people, when they actually are functioning properly, there is life that's given to both. But when relationships can become all about do and do and do and do and hold this right and hold that right and hold this right and hold that right and oh, you better not tip, you better not tip. And when it becomes about that, then they become sterile and they become life draining. And that's the same with God. And Jesus walked into a culture where these people made it all about systems and rules and checkoffs and do's and don'ts and all this stuff. And Jesus came in and said, you're missing it. Not about that. It's about following me. It's about understanding this is about mercy. This is not about sacrifice. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that just an unbelievable truth to know? Jesus right now is saying to every one of us through an invitation, right where you are, the things that you've built your life around, the things that you've put your hope in, whether it's money, whether it's career, whether it's family, whether whatever it is, some type of religious system, I want to set you free from that. Push your chair back. Stand up. Follow me. Jesus said that he will give you a life that you could never, ever, 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 ever experience apart from him. What are you saying to all of you today? Some of you today, I believe, are in a place where you one day pushed the chair back and you stood up and you started following Jesus. And as you started following him, you had this life in you. You had this joy in you. You had this, man, this is what it's all about in you. And for whatever reason right now, you said, man, this is confusing. This is draining. And I just don't even know how much more of this I can take. Because what has happened is someone maybe in a position like me or someone close to you has tried to browbeat you into thinking that this is all about you and what you do. It's not. It's about Jesus. Some of you here, you've probably been around church. You've heard about church. Church has been very, very unattractive to you. It's something that you've said, man, I don't even want to go in there. There's a bunch of hypocrites, you know, kind of like Anne Rice. And, you know, to be honest, we all are. We're all screwed up. But you sit here on the outside looking in, and once you sit there and you say, you go, I want something real. I need something real. And Jesus says, follow me. It's not about Jonathan up here. It's not about River City Church. It's not about organized religion. It's about Jesus. And as a church, when we gather together, this is great. It's great to worship. It's great to hang out. It's great to talk. It's great to teach. It's great to sing. It's great to talk about things, how we should live and all that. But it should always be done in a spirit that is not about rules. It's about a relationship. Following Jesus, and that each and every one of us gather together and say, not look at me, look at the one I follow. Amazing. Let's pray together. Father, we are just blown away that the more that we open the pages of Scripture and we read the way that Jesus engaged people right where they were, that it was never about who they were, what they'd done, what they can do. But God, it was always about who Jesus is and what he was going to do on the cross and what he has now done on the cross so that we can follow someone that doesn't try to heap burdens on us and say, keep all these laws and commandments, but it was someone who took the burdens of our sin on him on the cross. God, that's amazing. Father, forgive us for making following Jesus about rules and regulations. Forgive us, God, for thinking this is about us. God, this is not about us. This is about your glory. This is about your name, your fame. Father, it's all about what you've done for us. Father, I pray that whoever's here today, no matter where they're at, that God, you bring encouragement to their life, hope to their life, and clarity over whether or not they are following you. Through Jesus. I pray, God, that if they're not, I pray, Lord, that they would give it to you now. Push the table, push their chair back, stand up, and follow Jesus. I pray that's what would happen. It would change their life forever. It's in the name of Christ I pray.